Well, we're going to continue in our series this morning. We've had 6 lessons so far, and today we're going to hear lesson number 7. And just, if you haven't been here, then these are the, and you missed some of these lessons, you can pick them up through the office. You can ask, she can give you a little CD, I think. Or you can go online, and if you're savvy with technology, you can listen online. The first lesson that we began with some many weeks ago was the lesson of the pit factor in Joseph's life. And we have watched him, and we then, lesson 2, if you weren't here for that, skeletons in the closet. We learned this dysfunctional family that Joseph was from was used by God in a special way. Gave us hope for our dysfunctionality, right? Because we all seem to have a little. And yet we see in this family how God used this dysfunctional family to bring to us the lineage of Jesus. We also learned from Joseph's life in lesson number 3, how to bloom wherever we're planted. Joseph was a bloomer. Didn't matter where he was, wherever he set his feet, he seemed to be able to bloom, and God was able to use him. And lesson 4, we all related to this lesson, didn't we? Taming temptation. Joseph was confronted with it, and he showed us, he gave us the lesson of what to do when temptation comes, because it comes to all of us, doesn't it? There's no one sitting here today who's drawing breath who hasn't had to deal with temptation in their lives. And Joseph, we learned through his life, and you can learn the principles. Get that message if you were not here and learn some of the principles that will help you in taming temptation. And then lesson number 5, I don't know how many of you have had this experience. Have you ever had accusations and injustice come your way? All of us have, right? All of us. Some recent, some maybe not so recent. But Joseph especially, he was accused falsely. He was unjustly put in prison, as we saw. And we learned from his life how to respond to those things. And then last week, what did we learn? We learned about being supernaturally natural and naturally supernatural. We talked about divine communication through dreams and visions. That was a little spooky, wasn't it? But listen, we believe that God is speaking even today. From Genesis to Revelation, dreams and visions are present. Now, we have the scriptures, which is true, but God still speaks to us. And I got to hear some of your dreams this last week. Wow, I was impressed with some of the things you have received from the Lord. Some of you have been sitting on some stuff that God has spoken to you. Remember, we looked at Job, and his words were so instructive that God, in the night hours, oftentimes whispers in our ears. And so be open to that, not in a spooky way, but just in that dream state God has chosen. He created us to be able to dream. And we looked at the 4 levels of consciousness and that level where we dream a lot. Some of you think you don't dream, but you really do. And God oftentimes chooses through dreams and visions to speak to us. And so, but not, we want our lives to, and Joseph was a life that was, he was just supernatural. We are supernatural, but we're in a natural way where we work, where we live. We just live our lives and allow the Holy Spirit to flow through us. Well, you ready for the lesson this week? Here we are. Lesson number 7, learning to respond to delays and disappointments. Now, we left off last time we were together in Genesis 40. You can look on your phone, or maybe you got a real Bible with you, whatever method you want to use. We left off with verse 23, the last verse of chapter 40. Now, that's the end of the chapter, but not the end of the story. Always remember that, and we're going to see that in a way today. It ends with these chilling words. Remember, Joseph has interpreted the dreams of the butler and the baker. And it was quite an experience, wasn't it? They happened to be put in the prison where he was serving, and he took care of them. And one day they have these dreams, crazy dreams. And the butler had a dream, and the baker had a dream, and they were troubled by it, no one to interpret, and Joseph stepped forward and said, well, God interprets dreams, I'll interpret them for you. And so he starts with the butler, and always start with good news first, right? And he interprets his dream, and it's quite positive, isn't it? He says, hey, listen, in 3 days, you're going to come before Pharaoh again, and you're going to be put back in your position, and you're going to have the goblet in your hand, and you'll be serving Pharaoh. You're going to be right by his side in just 3 days. Well, the butler heard that interpretation, and he thought, wow, I need to have my dream interpreted. So he said, to interpret my dream. He goes, well, same thing for you. In 3 days, you're going to be lifted up before Pharaoh. Only difference is Pharaoh's going to kill you. He's going to hang you from a tree. Yuck. I could have done without that interpretation. How about you? Sometimes positive things, sometimes negative things are spoken, hard things. Well, it happened just like Joseph said it was going to happen. And the butler, before he left, this is the first time we've ever heard Joseph give a defense. He says, listen, when you go before Pharaoh, because in just a few days you're going to be right next to him, would you please plead my case? I'm here unjustly. I've done nothing wrong. And he tells him his story. He said, if you could appeal to Pharaoh and get me out of here. It's the only time we've heard Joseph ever say that. And the butler, the cupbearer, says, I'll do that. He makes a commitment to him. Yes, I will. But we end with the last verse, verse 23. Yet the chief butler did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. Two years now pass between verse 23 and the first verse of chapter 41. Follow along with me. Then it came to pass at the end of two full years that Pharaoh had a dream, and behold, he stood by the river. Suddenly there came up out of the river seven cows, fine looking and fat, and they fed in the meadow. Then behold, seven other cows came up after them out of the river, ugly and gaunt. And they stood by the other cows on the bank of the river. And the ugly and gaunt cow ate up the seven fine-looking fat cows. And Pharaoh woke up from his dream. What kind of dream is that? That's a spooky dream. That's a nightmare, isn't it? Then he went to sleep again. Next night, he dreamed a second time. And let me tell you something about dreams. It's just kind of a tack on. When you have dreams that appear multiple times, pay close attention to those sometimes, okay? Here he has another dream. And suddenly seven heads of grain came up out of the stalks, plump and good. And behold, seven thin heads, blighted by the east wind, sprang up after them. And the seven thin heads devoured the seven plump and full heads. So Pharaoh woke, and indeed it was a dream. Now it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled. And he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men. And Pharaoh told them his dreams, but there was no one who could interpret them for Pharaoh. Then the chief butler spoke to Pharaoh, saying, I remember my faults this day. He's standing there going, oh, of course, Joseph. Then Pharaoh was angry with his servants and put me in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, both me and the chief baker. If you remember, that was a couple years ago, Pharaoh. We each had a dream in one night. He and I, each of us dreamed according to the interpretation of his own dream. Now there was a young Hebrew man who was there, a servant of the captain of the guard. And we told him, and he interpreted our dreams for us. To each man he interpreted according to his own dream. And it came to pass, just as he interpreted for us, so it happened. He restored me to my office, and he hanged him. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him quickly out of the dungeon. I love this part. And he shaved and changed his clothes and came to Pharaoh. Well, you would too, wouldn't you? Hey, going into the Oval Office here, man. We've got to look good, right? Have a good appearance. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, I have had a dream, and there is no one who can interpret it. But I have heard it and said of, I've heard it said of you that you can understand a dream to interpret it. And so Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. This is very important. We see this in Joseph's life over and over. He's always giving who the credit? See, it's easy when God starts to use people, you end up thinking it's you. And that's in books are written, and pretty soon money's involved, and it all becomes very focused on, not on God, but on us. We need to be very careful to always reflect back to him. And so Joseph was careful. I mean, this would have been a great time. Say, yep, it's me, all right. You're lucky I'm here. But he says, no, it's not me. It's God working through me. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, behold, in my dream I stood on the bank of the river, and suddenly seven cows came up out of the river, fine looking and fat, and they fed in the meadow. And behold, seven other cows came up after them, poor and very ugly and gaunt. Such ugliness as I have never seen in all the land of Egypt. And the gaunt and ugly cows ate up the first seven, the fat cows. And when they had eaten them up, no one would have known that they had eaten them, for they were just as ugly as at the beginning. And then I awoke. Also, I saw in my dream, and suddenly seven heads came up on one stalk, full and good. And then behold, seven heads withered, thin and blighted by the east wind. And they sprang up after them, and the thin heads devoured the seven good heads. And so I told this to the magicians, but there was no one who could explain it to me. Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, "The dreams of Pharaoh are one. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. The seven good cows are 7 years, and the seven good heads are 7 years. The dreams are one. And the seven thin and ugly cows, which came up after them, are 7 years. And the seven empty heads, blighted by the east wind, those are 7 years of famine. This is the thing which I have spoken to Pharaoh. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. Indeed, 7 years of great plenty will come throughout all the land of Egypt. But after then, 7 years of famine will arise, and all of the plenty will be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine will deplete the land. So the plenty will not be known to the land because of the famine following, for it will be very severe." And the dream was repeated to Pharaoh twice, because the thing is established by God. Remember that. And God will shortly bring it to pass. Now, therefore, let Pharaoh select a discerning and wise man and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land to collect one-fifth of the produce of the land of Egypt in the seven plentiful years. And let them gather all the food of those good years that are coming and store up grain under the authority of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities. Then that food shall be as a reserve for the land for the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, and the land will not perish during the famine. So the advice was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all the servants. And Pharaoh said to his servant, "Can we find such a man as this, a man in whom is the Spirit of God?" Pharaoh looks over the crowd. "Oh, yes, Joseph. Inasmuch as God has shown you all this, there is no one as discerning and wise as you. And you shall be over my house, and all my people shall be ruled according to your word. Only in regard to the throne will I be greater than you." And Pharaoh said to Joseph, "See, I have set you over the land of Egypt." Wow. Is that not an incredible story? I just love these lessons. They're like episodes you watch on TV. My granddaughter fixed my wife and I up on, Netflix. That's probably old to you, new to me. She says, "Grandpa, you need Netflix." I said, "What is that?" "Well, you can watch for a few dollars a month. I said, "Well, that's kind of cool, but it sounds complicated." "No, I'll set you all up." And she did. She set up my account. We're sitting there. I'm going, "Oh, my gosh, what am I doing?" And so she said, "All you got to do is flip this on and you can watch shows. No commercials." You got my attention. No commercials. And so we started and we found a show that we're interested in and now we're hooked. You know what I'm talking about? And you got all the episodes, seasons 1, 2, 3. They've already happened and you get to watch them. And we were watching one the other night and it ends. You know how they end, right? And kind of looks at me and I said, "Well, we got to watch the next one. What are we going to do?" "Well, the problem with that is, then you're going to have to watch the next one." They just bait you, don't they? They bait you. So I told her, "We got to be disciplined and pretend they haven't made it yet. And we'll wait till next week to see." You know, it's so suspenseful, isn't it? Well, so is Joseph's life. One episode after another. Every time, and here's this one. You go, "What's going to happen next?" Well, we have an advantage, right? Because we know the end of the story. But I want you to imagine that between these two verses, 2 years pass. Can you imagine what Joseph felt? Do you think he was disappointed? I mean, here he has the butler. He interprets his dream. And he tells him his story and entrusts him to speak to Pharaoh. Because in just a few days, you're going to be standing right by Pharaoh's side. You're going to reach out. You're going to be able to touch him. You're going to hand him a cup of wine. And I'd like you to please plead my case. And the butler says, you can count on me. I'll do it. Now, if you were Joseph, what would you have done after that? Would you be packing your bags? I would be getting ready. I'd be saying to other prisoners, hey, in a few days, I'm out of here, guys. I'm going to be going home. This is great. This is God working things out. Is that right? But one day passed, and 2 days passed, and 3 days passed, and then a week passed, and then weeks turned into months, and months turned into years. The butler forgot Joseph. Worse yet, maybe God forgot him too. Or at least that could have been his thought. Have you ever thought that? Hey God, have you forgotten about me? My question is this, as I look between these two verses, because we don't know, but what happened during those 2 years? We have all the story that leads up to this. We've watched Joseph. We've come, I think we know him a little bit. We kind of know what to expect from him. But I can only imagine as he sat in that jail cell thinking, Lord, I thought sure this was going to work out a certain way. Have you ever had that experience? You thought sure this is the way it was going to go. But then it took another turn. And you have to wait. How many of you are good at waiting? I'm not very good at waiting. That's not my strength. I don't know about you. But waiting comes difficult for me. It kind of goes against my grain. Some of you are good at it. I'm not. I'm like this guy in that line there, right? In fact, don't ever follow me into a store, let me tell you. Because I like to go, like I go to Dillon's and there's seven lanes and I got to pick one. Which one am I going to get into? I study it for a while. Which line seems to be moving the fastest? And what checkout person seems to got they've got their ducks in a row, right? And I think there's the one. I step in that line and everything comes to a screeching halt. Will we have a price check on line 12, please? I'm going, oh, Lord, were you just waiting for me to step into this line? And the line that I thought was the slowest, you've done this. Have you not done this? I marked the last guy. Remember, he's the guy in the red shirt. Okay? And when I see him walking out, and I'm still in my line, and I think I should have got in that line. You know, you have done this, haven't you? How many of you are line jumpers? Okay, yeah. Listen, you can spend all afternoon doing that and never get out. I'm telling you, don't do that. I want you to be careful. Well, I believe there are many things that God wants to teach us, and some of them are only learned in the line of waiting. There are great lessons to be learned. Joseph is one of our best examples in Scripture about learning to wait well. It's not a question of will we wait, but how will you wait? And Joseph is about to teach us some things. He seemed to experience, I don't know, seems like in every episode, Joseph seems to have more delays and more disappointments. We think things are moving in the right direction. Bam, then they go another direction. And you're just going, what in the world? But I could just see all of heaven when this was unfolding, all the angels going, I wonder what's going to happen on the next episode, right? They're watching and learning. The Bible says that angels learn about the wisdom of God by watching us. The manifold wisdom of God. They long to look into it, and they observe it by us, the church, and they're watching too, probably like Connie and I are watching Netflix, you know, what's going to happen next? Well, today we're going to continue to learn from Joseph's life. And this morning you have an insert in your bulletin. I know it's hard to believe, but there's an acrostic in there. I want you to follow it with me, will you? You can fill it in and consider, as we look at Joseph, how to respond when delays and when disappointments are staring us in the face. I mean, we're face to face with it. We're talking real life. So we're going to use this acrostic to guide us this morning as we consider Joseph's life and make application in our own life. And we're going to talk about how to respond to these delays and disappointments. We're going to take the first letter this morning, okay? The letter D. You can fill it in. When you are in a place of delay, understand it could be a divine appointment. It could be a divine plan that is unfolding behind the scenes that you don't even know about. When you experience these delays in your life where things were just going along well and all of a sudden the line stops right in front of you, what is going on? I want to encourage you this morning that God is working when you are waiting. God is working when you are waiting. You may not see it, but it's true. The Scriptures ask the question, can a man discern his days? What may appear to be insignificant to you on a given day may be the most important day of your life. Something that you think is out of timing may be right on time, because God is working and accomplishing His purposes. I challenge you today to look in the rearview mirror of your life. What do you see? Was it really all by chance? Is it just coincidence that things have happened the way they have? If you could go back in time, what would you change? I propose to you this morning that you should change nothing. Nothing. But that you worship God with these events as they unfold. We know how Joseph's story ends. We don't have that advantage. We can flip to the end of the story. And what does Joseph declare? We're going to be there in a month in chapter 50. What is the end confession of Joseph? That what has been meant for evil, God has meant for good. The King James says, what was meant for my destruction, God used to my present day profit. How many of you are willing to embrace that today? Is that a possibility? Well, when you're in this place of delay, the first thing you need to do is confess that God may have this might be a divine delay. Don't resist it too much, because God may be doing something you know nothing about. Let's play the what-if game. How many of you know that's not a fun, that game can get you into trouble? Well, let's do it. Let's just take Joseph's life. What if Joseph had never been put in the pit? What if Reuben, you know, he left. You know, Reuben was the one that said, hey, listen, I'm going to save my brother and take him home to dad. And he slipped away for a while, remember? And he comes back and all the wheels have come off the wagon and they're selling Joseph as a slave. What would have happened if Reuben came back earlier and had taken him home to dad? We'd all went, Reuben, that's wonderful. What if the Ishmaelites had not come by when they did? What if someone else had purchased Joseph other than Pharaoh? Or other than Potiphar, excuse me. What if Potiphar's wife had not accused him falsely? Or what if Joseph had yielded to temptation? What if? What if Potiphar had sentenced Joseph to death? Because he could have. That was what the crime warranted. Instead, he was put into prison for many different reasons, but here's a question that applies to today. What if the butler and the baker had been put under somebody else's charge? What if the butler had remembered Joseph? I believe God gave the butler divine amnesia. Because there is no way on God's green earth you would forget that. That's impossible to me. Wait a minute. This guy interprets your dream. It's only 3 days. I mean, I got a poor memory, but I'm good for 3 days. How about you? Well, my wife would question that. I can't even go to the store and get the list right sometimes. Stop by and get this. I'm embarrassed to tell you. I walk in the house and it hits me when I walk in. I'll be back. I got to go. I just remembered, right? So I understand that dilemma, but this is huge. This is big. There's some things you never forget. There's no way he should have forgot. But what if he had remembered? Here's what might have happened. Joseph would have been brought before Pharaoh. Pharaoh would have heard his story, and Pharaoh would have sent him home. And he'd have never heard the dream. What would have happened? Egypt would have starved to death. Jacob and all his sons would have starved. Israel would have been, I think, would have been would not have survived. And the lineage of Jesus would have been destroyed. No Jesus, no salvation. If the cupbearer had remembered Joseph, you'd be sitting here today in your sin. You would be dead in your sin if the butler would have remembered. But he didn't remember. Because, see, divine delays are often divine plans. And God is working. Listen to me. There are too many moving parts in your life to think you really control them all. There's just too many. I know you think you do, but you don't. God wanted Joseph, and he wants us to know that He is working a divine plan in our lives. Some of you are facing delays right now in your life. Is that right? Some of you have been waiting for the salvation of a loved one. How long have you been waiting? Say, Pastor, I've been waiting a long time. Some of you have a dream and a promise from God, something that God has spoken to your heart. You've been waiting a long time. But everything seems the opposite. Everything seems contrary to that. You may be in the middle of a divine delay right now. Never give up. That's the word today. Never give up. God is working. Maybe you've been passed over for a promotion at work that you were sure you were going to get. Maybe you got fired from a job that you loved. Maybe all the wheels have come off your wagon. It may be a divine delay. I want you to consider today the life of Joseph. Maybe there's a plan and a design working behind the scenes. Chapter 40 was over, but not the story. And that leads us to our next letter this morning, the letter E. Joseph learned to put his expectations in God and not in people and not in situation. Joseph learned that through this. I mean, can you imagine? Joseph's a man, just like us. I'm sure that as he sat there, he questioned this whole thing. But God was getting ready to teach him. Why was God wanting to teach him this lesson? Because he had a job to come in a couple years, and he was going to need to know this. He was going to need to learn these things, and God was preparing him for the future. Let me tell you something, church. People will let you down. People will disappoint you. Is there anyone here who's never been disappointed in someone? Or you've never been let down by someone? Has anybody ever made a promise to you and didn't keep it? Even the best people will disappoint you. I will let you down. It's a promise I know I can keep. I will. I will disappoint you. If you spend much time with me, it's going to happen. And you're going to disappoint me. You're going to let me down. My expectations are going to be unfulfilled. In marriage, hello. There are times, I know I've been a big disappointment to my wife at times. Sometimes I've let her down. But we love each other. And we're hanging in there together because we know God is working something. In a few weeks, I'm going to be ministering a message on trying not to offend people, but also stop being so easily offended. Oh, it's two sides, isn't it? And the love of the church should let us go through things and even times of disappointment because our expectation is in God. God didn't call us to trust each other. He called us to love each other. He said, I want you to trust me and love one another. I don't even trust myself. God uses people, but don't put your trust in them. Don't put your expectation in your situation or your resources. Some of you have great expectation in your job, your ministry, your money. Some of you have put great expectation in the government, and we live in a great country. And God can use them all. But be careful. Be careful. Make sure your primary expectation, your primary trust is in God alone. That's what Joseph is trying to teach us. Psalms 20, verse 7, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will trust in the name of the Lord our God. Matthew 10, 29. I love the scripture from the NIV. Think about this for a minute. Jesus said, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside the Father's care. Is that true? Because if that's true, am I more valuable than that sparrow? Psalms 118:8, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Be careful. Third level, letter L. Learn to faith wait. This is the most important lesson you learn in the waiting line. You learn to faith wait. Remember, God is working while we are waiting. Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Because when you're waiting sometimes, nothing makes sense. Everything seems out of order. Timing seems to be off. It's the one thing that I wrestle with the most is the timing of God. But by faith in that waiting line, I hope, Hope is not for what you have, but for what you don't have. And I have the evidence of things not seen. What is the greatest enemy of faith? It's fear. And fear comes when we are disappointed, when people have let us down, when there are divine delays, and we were on the road, man. We had it all planned out, and everything came apart, and all of a sudden fear fills my heart. Someone once said, I liked it, said, when fear comes knocking on your door, send faith to answer the door. And when faith answers the door, there'll be no one there. Because faith and fear cannot exist together. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Let me tell you something. When you're standing in the waiting line, it will reveal things about your own heart. And that's what God's up to. There's things to learn while you're waiting that you can't learn any other time. Romans 4:18 says, even when there... I love this from the New Living Translation. Even when there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept hoping. King James says, when things were contrary to hope, in hope he believed. See, when you're waiting, I mean, would that have been easy for Joseph? Listen, nothing has worked out so far. Everything has been a train wreck. It's one thing after another, and God brings me to the top, and then he drops me like, God, what's happening? God's teaching us when there's no reason to hope. We keep on hoping, believing. See, God spoke to Abraham, believing that he would become the father of many nations, for God had said to him, that's how many descendants you will have. God spoke it, but nothing lined up with it. Everything seemed contrary, even their age and the things that would happen. And people laughed about it, but he kept on hoping. Faith, waiting, will make you strong. The strongest people I know are people who know how to wait well. Isaiah 40:31, but those who wait on the Lord, he's qualified it, those who wait on the Lord, they will renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That's what happens when you wait. That's the fruit of waiting. Now, a natural flow out of faith waiting is our next letter, which is A. Have an attitude of gratitude and patience. This comes from waiting. People who understand, who have this in their life, are people who know how to wait well. Philippians 4:6-8. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. It's very important when you're waiting to begin to praise God and give express gratefulness to God. Praise him in the situation, even though it seems the opposite thing to do. That's what you do. When you're in these times of delay and disappointment, begin to worship him. That scripture in Philippians goes on to say, if you'll do that, you will experience God's peace. I am confused about something in the church today as I watch people and I watch my own life, just to be fair. I've been walking with God. Somebody asked me today, when were you first called to preach? And I got, and how long have you been ministering? Oh, gosh, that's a long time, you know. And I thought to myself, if I'd been walking with God that long, you'd think I'd be doing better. Why am I anxious? Why do I struggle so? See, because God wants us to grow. He doesn't want us to stay. And the more I walk with him, and that's what he's teaching me through these delays, he's wanting to grow me up into him. Folks, some of you are stuck. And God's going to unstick you. Because he don't want you to act like you're still drinking milk when you should be eating meat. You should be teaching others. Where's our faith level at? Where have we been all these years? Haven't we learned? Joseph, 17 years old. He's going to be 30 by the time he reaches Pharaoh. Whoa, that's a lot of years, isn't it? What did God do during those years? Every year counted. Every day counted because God was preparing him. The scripture goes on to say, he talks in Philippians, he says, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. God's teaching you in times of delay to do that very thing. He's wanting you to have patience. How many of you, patience is a natural thing for you? You're just a patient person. All right? How many of us? That's a work of God in us. Is that right? In fact, Galatians says it's the fruit of the Spirit. Notice, patience is not a gift. It's not a gift. It's a fruit. It's not instant. It grows and develops over time. It comes in the waiting place of delays and disappointments. And if you're still stuck, God's want, why are you there? Why do you keep having these delays and disappointments? Maybe God is trying to build this in you. Romans 12:12, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Listen, thank God for your delay. Thank God for your disappointment. It may be the opposite of what you thought. Thank God in it. Amen? And never forget the letter Y. You are the beloved of God. You are the beloved of God. Romans 8, 31, 39. And you can read this. We're short on time here, so just mark that down and read that. You know the scripture well, right? If God is for us, who can be against us, right? It's true. You need to, I think Joseph kind of got a hold of that, didn't he? God's for me. Doesn't matter what's happening to me. Listen to me, church. Some of you, things have to happen a certain way. Could we come to a place where we say, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if I'm in that dungeon. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because I am the beloved of God. That's my North Star, okay? It guides me. And in Romans 8, he lists those things. You know it well. Nothing will separate us from the love of God. And he lists all these things. Not famine, not sword, nothing. Everything is, and he just goes, and then he grabs this scripture out of the Psalms that we are like sheep to the slaughter. And then he keeps going. And I am convinced of this very thing, that we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. And he said, in case I've forgotten anything, there's just nothing made, anything that's made or created, nothing. I don't know why he just didn't say nothing. But he wanted you to be sure to understand the list. But why did they stick that scripture in Psalms in there? Because if you go and read it, it's an account of the children of Israel, the people of God, wondering if God loved them because they thought the heavens were brass and that God was sleeping, and they heard all the great stories of the past, but nothing seemed to be going their way. They even believed that God was selling them cheap. That was a bad place to be. Why did Paul slip that into Romans 8? Because, just like Joseph, it's times like Joseph when you will wonder if God loves you. You will wonder. Now, we're not supposed to wonder, so we never say that, right? It's true, and you've all thought it, and I've thought it too. God, do you really care about me? God, are you sleeping? Are you selling me cheap? Am I like a lamb to the slaughter? Could Joseph have thought all those things? Yes. But he came to realize, and we need to realize, that we are the beloved of God. You need to get up in the morning and look in the mirror. I am the beloved of God. God loves me, and nothing can separate. And the last letter that Joseph taught us is to serve with excellence. Is that what Joseph did? Didn't matter where he was, he kept serving. Who'd he serve? He served his enemies. He served his friends. He served everywhere you see. And Joseph served, and Joseph served, and Joseph served, and God was with him. We need to keep serving and ministering no matter what is happening to us. That is the lesson of Joseph. And I close with this scripture, Galatians 6:9. Put it deep in your heart. Let us not become weary in doing good. I don't know about you, but if I was Joseph, I thought you all clean your own dishes. I've been at this thing for a decade now, and all I get is a black eye. I am not helping any of you anymore until God does something for me. I'm giving and giving and giving, and I'm not getting anything back. Hello? I serve and serve and serve, and nobody recognizes me. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time... Uh-oh, not that. Time? Waiting? At the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. I still remember the words of my mom. She said of me, she said, the more I prayed, the worse things got. But somewhere deep in her heart, she believed for her son that things would turn around. But nothing... my mom even had a friend say to her one day, Ruth, you got 5 kids. You only lost one. That's not bad. They even said, even Jesus lost one. Isn't that encouraging to a mom? Even Jesus lost one. But mom said, I couldn't let go of the promise. And when things were all contrary to hope, in hope, she believed. Do not become weary in well-doing. Keep doing what you're supposed to do. Don't stop. Keep ministering, even when things don't make sense. And this morning we're coming to this table, and this is the table. Wow. Wow. This is the table that helps me, because Jesus took care. This is what was going on all the time. Even in the story of Joseph, God was thinking about Joe Voss. Even in the story of Joseph, God was thinking about you, Mark. We were all part of that story. And so this morning, we're going to come to this table and let this table serve as a catalyst for you. That if you're in a time of waiting, if you're in a time where things don't make sense, just think about this table. Because I'll tell you, some of the disciples wondered. People questioned whether this whole thing was right. No, you're supposed to overcome Rome. You're supposed to take down the Roman authority. We're going to set up a kingdom. And Jesus told them, right now, you're not going to understand any of this. But this is God's divine plan for all of us. And someday it'll make sense to you. And we're just going to celebrate that today because this is how I know that I am the beloved of God. Amen? So we're going to come to the table. We're going to celebrate that. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you just come to church, but you've never given your heart to Him, maybe this is your day. Maybe somebody brought you with them. I want to encourage you at the end of this service to take your friend's hand. Would you go up with me so Pastor Joe or others can pray with me? Because this could be your day, amen, when the divine plan is coming together. And listen, God will bring people in your life. I know there are people that invested in me and thought it was a total waste of time. Just forget that guy because you're just wasting your time. Never think that way. Never write anybody off. Never. You just keep sowing, keep planting, because God's plan will come. The divine purpose is working when you can't even see it, and you might be part of it today. Amen. Father, we're going to come to this table, and we're going to dip this cup, this bread in the cup, and we're going to celebrate your divine plan for our lives. We think of how you brought us all to this place. It's magnificent. It's incredible. We all got a different story, just like Joseph. But as we look at the story, as we turn the pages, it's evident you were working your design. You were bringing us to this place, and here we are. And we celebrate that today. We are not afraid. We're not afraid. We're not coming to heaven in fear. We're coming to heaven as conquerors, full of faith, full of patience, full of hope, because you have done this work in us. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand with me, please? We're going to dismiss, and we're all going to be going a lot of different directions. And I somehow believe that this week, this message is going to have direct application in your life. So get ready for that. Some of you are already in delays and disappointments. Some of you not yet, but it's coming. And God's wanting to prepare you for that. Amen? But be ready this week to follow these steps that have been given to us by Joseph's example. Because it was preserved for us so we could learn. And so we want to walk in these realities today. Amen? If you're here today, we've already mentioned it, and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, we want to give you that invitation today. Say, well, how do people get saved? Well, it's pretty simple. God saves you, and He moves on your heart, and He draws you to Him, and all you do is respond to Him. So if you're here today and you've never made that commitment, God's drawing you for a reason. We want to pray with you. If you're here today and you're in a delay, and it's really been bothering you, and maybe it's been a long time, and you're about ready to let go, I'm like Joseph. So many people have disappointed me, made promises to me. I feel invisible to God. I feel invisible to people. But I don't want to let go. We're here as your lifeline today. We want to help you get your expectation focused properly. We want to pray with you. We'll stay as long as we need to. If you're here and you need healing in your body, we want to anoint you with oil and pray for you. Say, Pastor, I've been praying for healing a long time. I'm still... Don't give up. Keep believing. Keep praying. Let God work His plan in your life. Amen? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Just sense His presence today. There'll be people up here to pray with you that I trust. It's not just anybody standing up here. They will speak words of life into your heart. Just be open to it. Amen? Father, we are your church, and we leave this place to be the church. The church is not this building. It's just a place we've chosen to gather. But Father, when we leave here, that's when we're really going to be the church. And we're going to be like Joseph, and we might be in some difficult situations, but we want to apply all these lessons we've learned to everyday life. Father, it's a privilege and an honor to be yours. And we just want to reflect our light wherever we go this week. Give us the faith and hope we need to stand in the places you have put us. To your glory, may your plan be fulfilled in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Go in God's love and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. We love you. God bless you.